Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
We created a candid podcast for busy people. We get right to the point of our topics, and we keep them to 30 minutes or less.
We wanted to put our ideas out there, share it with people we love, and if it spreads, great.
Our show has no edits and no gimmicks.
Like it or don't, we initially started this project for ourselves, to record our thoughts for our kids, but our friends and family thought we should share it, so here you go. This is Zach and Dave back with you guys again for another session of Life Lab, and today's discussion will be on spontaneity. Experiment with spontaneity, and we are actually practicing what we preach today. We took no notes, and that made Dave uncomfortable, did it not?
Yeah, no, it totally did. Got me out of my comfort zone because I don't know. I was afraid that we wouldn't have anything to talk about. You know?
Sure. And I could see it in his eyes, deer in headlights look. And then he saw how excited I was to actually try it. So what did we decide?
We just said, let's do it. You know, if we're going to come up with stuff, we'll write it down as we go. And, you know, it'll be a fun experience. And if we have to start over, we'll start over. It's not,
sure.
not the end
yeah,
of the
we
world.
Said, so if it's garbage, we'll throw it out and nobody will ever hear this. Yeah. So I'll kick it off because this one is near and dear to my heart. I try to be spontaneous in most aspects of my life. But it's actually not truly spontaneous because I actually try to structure that in to all my days. So I have always lived in the last 5 years or so with what I call structured spontaneity, whether that's picking a spot to eat out, trying a new place, driving to work through a new route, all these little habitual things. I like to shake things up because to me it just adds a sense of discovery and exploration and really freshness and newness. Do you ever do any of those types of little habits to try to change them up or not really?
You know, I used to a lot more, and I don't know why I've lost it. It's something that I've heard about, talked about recently, and I understand that it's something that can add a bit of novelty to your life, and that's something that kind of adds to the enjoyment of life, adds to what many would call happiness. And so I'm aware of it. It's just that I have not made the effort to put it back into my life yet, which is kind of funny to say that as an adult, sometimes you actually have to make an effort for spontaneity.
Right, and that's that whole structured spontaneity. So is it truly in its essence actually spontaneous? Probably not, because I seek out ways to be spontaneous.
I wonder if I could just, you know, make it a part of my conscious that when I'm making decisions, that I should try one that I wouldn't normally make. I mean, I think that's a bit of spontaneity,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, making a different decision, something that makes you uncomfortable. Let's throw out some words here. Chaos.
Right.
Is for you, does chaos come at all into the idea of spontaneity?
No, I think that it's more the aversion of risk, right? So let's talk about something even really small and simple, going out to a restaurant. Most times I'll go to a restaurant and find something that I really enjoy, and there'll be other things on the menu that might kind of, you know, interest me, but inevitably the next time I go there, I'm like, oh, I really enjoy that thing. I feel like there's a risk of missing out if I try something that I don't like, mm-hmm. That I won't like. And most often, you know, there will be one, maybe two things at every restaurant that I really enjoy and I find myself ordering over and over again.
Talking about the risk of missing out, audience, if you can come up with that psychological term, because it's tied to social media, that's why people can't put down their social media feeds, because there's this new term that social mm-hmm. scientists have come out with, people's fear of missing out on things. So I think people are so, myself included, so tied and glued to our social media, because it's the opposite of being spontaneous. That's as structured as structured get. We see what everyone else is doing. We find the things that fit into our current habits or patterns of life and choose the things that make us feel better.
And that's funny because I think it ties into, you know, we've talked about self-identity, you know, and you feel like, well, I'm not the person who does that, you know, so you're taking away from that character. And when you talk about fear of missing out, I think that for me, in the example that I gave, that's a perfect example. But I also think the word fear, just fear, has something to do with aversion to spontaneity.
Sure. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. I love, I put that slide in anytime I'm working with a client or class, and I start with, well, what is fear, and why do we have these limiting beliefs that keep us from being either spontaneous or fulfilling and finding our passion, trying to do something new? I don't know. To me, the part of human nature and the human condition is going to the dark side of things, the negativities. So what would the dark side of spontaneity be? And I have an example on the top of my head that I'll share while you're thinking of one, Dave. If you're spontaneous, people in their 30s, right, you get invited to a lot of events, lots and lots of events. So everyone's calendars and their weekends are full. So what's the spontaneous couple do? They just decide at the last minute which events they're going to go to, and that pisses everyone else off. Or you're at a party and you're like, we're just going to go do something else. See ya, everyone. Right? So that social side of being spontaneous can actually hurt relationships, I think. And so lots of people like to have those calendars and those structures and habits and patterns to prevent relationships from deteriorating.
Well, and I think that I'm overly analytic. I mean, that's something that we've talked about before. And I think that making a decision on the spur of the moment without going through too much analysis is a big part of spontaneity. And that applies to a wide range of things, not just the simple stuff that we've been discussing, like ordering something new at a restaurant. You can employ spontaneity into some serious parts of your life. You know, you can do it at work and your business and places where it actually has consequences. And that's where I think the word fear really comes into play a little bit more. And then it just becomes a pattern and a habit, right? So I'm overly analytical about big decisions, and it just kind of filters down to my small decisions, and I end up doing the same thing and repeating the same patterns.
There's one facet of life that we haven't talked about being spontaneous, and yet all the experts line up on the same side saying it's so important to have a healthy relationship, marriage, or long-term relationships. You have to be spontaneous at times to keep things fresh and new and sexy and fun and exciting. So we do these, you know me, I'm a goofball. I do all kinds of weird stuff to push people's buttons. And unfortunately, my wife lives with me, so her buttons get pushed all the time. So I do things like switch sides of the bed. So she'll come in and I'm just on, you know, what would be her side. And I do this kind of little stuff all the time. And it frustrates her a little bit. But then I read an article saying that all these marriage experts said that's some of the best stuff you can do to keep things fresh. And I showed it to her and she hated it.
That's funny. That was her reaction. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I remember a psychological experiment that they were talking about relationships saying that initially couples who are on their first date who do something that's exciting and feels a little bit dangerous form bonds much more quickly than people who are on boring things. So I think that on the experiment they had couples walk over like a drawbridge or something, or like a suspension bridge, something that was actually a little bit, you know, scary together, and they bonded through doing that. I guess what you're, you know, maybe there's some kind of tie back to that, right? Because when you do something spontaneous like that, it's like, even if it's the smallest amount of fear, right? You're changing from the normal. You're changing from the safe. You're changing from what you know. So maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Something that I'm going to do at some point, and I'm sure lots of other people have already done it. It's not like it's my idea. I want to do a road trip with my family in the U.S. and like to hit up a lot of national parks because we have so many treasures in this country. I want to do it without GPS and without navigation and do it all old school map style and not plan out where we're going to stay and do it purely spontaneously and just figure it out as we go, because we can and we have those opportunities, and there's motels and hotels and gas stations and restaurants, but we've tricked ourselves into believing, well, I don't have my navigation, or I don't know everywhere we're going to stay for every night. This trip won't be fun.
Well, you know, there's something else that we do is that we have the ability to research more than ever. And I think we do it to a point that it handcuffs us. So we build things up in our head. Before we go on a vacation, we're looking at every website where you could go. We're looking at lists of the top places that you can go. We're looking at Airbnbs and trying to find the nicest places to stay. Every little thing is planned out. Top restaurant to eat while you're in the city.
Right.
And so you build it up in your head. And then no matter what your experience is, it's hard. It's if you're let down if it's not like perfectly as you imagined it. Whereas what you're saying, if you actually envision what that, you know, could end like, and there's probably a high probability of having to stay a night in a crappy motel that you're, you know, not loving, eating a restaurant that doesn't turn out to be good. But if you are taking the adventure out of it, and if you're embracing it, then maybe that's exactly what you want, because we've all had good restaurants. We've all stayed in nice, you know, places and whatever. After a while, it's just another nice restaurant.
Right. To me, it's about, I'm going to go academic, going to go dorky on you. So two things. One, there's a guy named Guy Debord, and he wrote a lot about what's called the simulacrum. So that's what the whole movie The Matrix is based on, and his book is actually in Keanu Reeves' office early in the movie when they go into his room. It's everything is a copy of a copy of a copy. So you're going to go to the Grand Canyon. Not only are you going to look it all up, you're going to see pictures of it all. And then when you get there, it's disappointing. Right? And that's what exactly what you're talking about. So when I travel, I do look up key things like that, but then I always leave, let's say 25%. I'm making up a number where I call it in my head, go local. And I just go up to locals and say, where's the place that the tourists don't go? Where do you all go? And then I try to go do that stuff. What are people not writing about that I need to go try and go see? And I've learned that from my ethnographic experience, trying to understand a culture from the participant's point of view, from the person who lives there, the native's point of view. And man, it has served me so well in my travels, because every time I travel, I plan out roughly 75%, and then I go with the flow 25%. And if anything, when I was in London for 6 weeks this past summer, I went go local 50% of the time, and I just go with the flow. It was wonderful.
I love that, and it takes a sense of adventure, I think, to do that. To say, I want something to be, you know, we talked about newness, novelty. When you build stuff up in your head, when you research it ahead of time, you're kind of ruining that. You know? And it's so funny how you'll go do something with a group, and someone will have organized it, right? And they'll try to tell you all about the place, and you're like, whoa, you've been here before?
Right.
No, this is my first time.
Right.
But they know everything about the place.
And that's such a, because we go out to eat all the time, right? We're both members of dinner clubs and we travel a lot. This is getting off subject, but we can digress. Is finding those couples or those groups of people that you can travel well with, and that you're paired up, and that they do like some spontaneity if you do, or if you need structure, that they have to have structure. And there's not, and we have a large group of friends, but there's not a ton that we can travel with, because me and my wife are so eclectic, you know, because we will just kind of go with the flow and be free spirits. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
You know, it's funny now that you mention it, that I enjoy some of the time that we spend together, I enjoy, because we end up doing stuff that I would not have chosen myself. So yeah, maybe that's another tip that we would give people. Find spontaneous people. If you're not spontaneous yourself, spend some time with spontaneous people and be open to doing what they decide that they want to
borrow
do.
Borrow their spontaneity.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I came across a phrase after we did our passion podcast, the idea of borrowing someone's passion. And that's a double-edged sword, right? That's the idea of, you can get motivated and inspired and wanting to do something or commit to your goals. But as soon as that person leaves, it recedes. Their passion recedes from you. So you have to find a way to build your own passion. You can borrow somebody else's. Same thing with spontaneity. Find small ways to trigger your own spontaneity, but borrow someone else's for a little bit, especially if you're traveling, because it's kind of fun.
And when you think about words that are related to spontaneity, to me, the word fun also is in there. And it's probably just as a result of a lifetime of hanging out with you and getting experiences that I would not normally have gotten had I chosen them on my own. And the weird thing is this, like, I don't consider myself a boring person.
Of course not.
I think I am fun. And I think that but when it comes to the spontaneity aspect, I mean, I think it's a place that I need to grow. I love that we're having this conversation.
Right. It really morphed. I mean, yeah. You can hear our energy level, I'm sure, yeah. Audience. You know, we went from kind of slow and talking about the talk, right? What should we talk about? Now we're into it.
Well, when I started off talking about this, right, I said, well, this is a topic I've heard about, and I understand that it's an important part of what people consider to be happiness. There was a little bit more content about that I heard that was basically saying that you can do things like Zach said at the beginning, take a new way to work, stop at a new coffee shop every day on your way, you know, for a month. These are little things that you can do that will add novelty into your life, and they find that it psychologically it benefits you. You generally become a happier person because of it.
So. Absolutely. So I'm going to share a few change challenges with the audience. So Dave, just give you a few. One is, take three different spheres in your life. One, a relationship. If it's with a significant other, great. If it's with a friend or family member, fine. Find a small way to break their expectations of you. So when you would normally be structured in one pattern with this person, do, and don't tell them you're going to do it, but do something completely spontaneous. And just pay attention to how that feels and how that experience goes. That's one. Two, the thing that Dave said about getting to work, do something novel there. But once you're at work, find a way to break the people at work's expectations of your normal patterns of behavior. Finally, that travel component. Be spontaneous. Put away the GPS for a day trip someday and get out the old maps. Do something that makes you uncomfortable and then talk about it with your loved ones. Because at the end of the day, all of this spontaneity stuff ties back to stories. Even if you stay in a shitty motel, even if you eat a crappy meal, now you've got a story to share with your friends. And you share it and you connect on a new level.
And that's all life is a string of stories. I'll say this. Here's an idea that I had. When you're doing your idea to your spontaneity challenge, try and surprise people who know you well. Do something that would surprise
Love
them.
Love
because
it.
Those are the people, you know, the people who know you best know your character. And we talked about how your character would do something. And, you know, that's why you kind of fit in that mold all the time. Oh, no, I would order this at this restaurant. I would blah. Do something that would surprise other people and get a reaction out of them that you wouldn't normally get. It's an unsafe thing, if you think about it, because you know the safe reaction if you just do what you normally would do, because that's what they would expect out of you. But and then seek that feedback from them about that surprise that you...
Right. And pay attention to the feeling. Pay attention. If you don't like it, clearly don't do it again.
Right.
But one other level I want to bring in before we close... This all ties back to one of Robert Greene's 48 laws of power. Surprise others. Never let others get you in a pattern where they can predict your behaviors, because then they have power over you, right? So at a much larger level where humans are trying to attain power and control in different spheres of your life, being spontaneous is actually a way to get power over others at a very base level, or to exert control in your own life and empower yourself to take some power.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's taking control over yourself.
Yeah.
It's not letting others' expectations of you dictate your actions. And that's a super important thing if you think about it. So I would say, you know, go ahead, get out there, do something spontaneous, do it for all the positive reasons that we've talked about. Think about fun, think about novelty. Think about adventure, you know, think about curiosity, and go make a life out of it.
Go make a life out of it. Let us know what you did. We'll love to hear about it. Have a good one.